Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Dallas, people, you're stupid.
It's John and Lance.
That's stupid as crap. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours, along with Sean Mapes. Mapes is in studio. You can see him there if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube or wherever you enjoy the show. Welcome in. We are talking about a miserable, miserable night last night. All show long, all day long. I am in L.A. while Lance is at Highland Pines Golf Club for the Mercy Gate Tournament today, and he's going to be there all morning long. And we appreciate Houston Glover and all the guys at TPC making us a part of what's going on out there raising money for Mercy Gate. So we'll tell you a little bit about that a little bit later in the show. But we start with the game last night. We start with just a heartbreaker. Yesterday, Lance, we said they can't go through any lulls like they normally do, and they did. Up by 12 with 16 something left, they were outscored 18-6 over the next 8.5 minutes or so, and that was just a killer. It got the game close again. They were playing great. They were playing great defensively. They were playing great offensively, and then it just like it has.
Well,
so
wait. Did you say when were they playing great offensively? I don't know that they ever shot over 40% for the whole game.
The start of the second half, they played real well. In the first 4 minutes, they built a 12-point lead.
The first 4 minutes, yeah. I would say there's 36 minutes of bad basketball, bad offense yesterday. It was a dreadful shooting performance, 34% from the field, 24% from the three-point line, under 70% from the free throw line. They got out-rebounded, more points in the paint for Florida. They lost almost every category imaginable yesterday, and it's just – you know, some of the worst bricks I've seen in the first half.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, there's a lot of defense, but Houston and Florida were not even hitting rim. They were like hitting the side of the backboard on some of those shots. It was unbelievable. Now, the intensity of defense, you know, I understood it on both sides. So it wasn't – and, you know, and I've got a dog in a fight. So people who are just watching it to watch a championship game, they probably thought it was – well, I know they thought it was a terrible game in terms of – you know, game flow and stuff like that. But, you know, for us, we were okay with it because our side was winning. But, well, man, I'm just so disappointed right now.
They said it would be, you know, it was going to – I don't know about a brick fest, but it was going to be an ugly game, and it was that. And they did build a 12-point lead. First 4 minutes of the second half, they outscored them by 9. And that was really, really nice. They were playing clamp-down defense, and then all of a sudden – you know, Florida turned into the Cougs. The Cougs couldn't get anything. They couldn't. Man, oh, man, oh, man. How many times did they stand out top, not driving, not doing anything, and then with the shot clock running down, and then they have to throw up whatever.
They got cooged.
Yep, they did get cooged.
I mean, that's what the Cougars make other teams do. And, I mean, you pick – like, Uzan picked a really bad day, obviously, to have one of his worst games of the year. But it wasn't just him. It was just, you know, you turn Sharp into just a meaningless – you know, just tossing up long shots. You didn't get the mid-rangers like you wanted. When you did get the mid-rangers, they weren't great. It was – you had – Javier Francis is really the only guy that had a plus-plus game, and then you had Malik Wilson who had a solid game. And after that, everyone else struggled. And it's and yet you really had a great chance to win. It would have been one of the most unlikely wins with the way that they shot the basketball. But, you know, the thing that has bothered me the whole year, and I know it's a positive – when you have a bunch of guys that can score, but you didn't have a number. Like, in those moments where you really need – where it's winning time, you want a guy that you can rely on. And two things that really, I think, hurt them is you didn't really have that one guy. I mean, L.J. Crier took a lot of shots. I think he was 6 of 18, 6 of 19. But you didn't have that one dude – you know, that one real dude that a lot of championship teams have, like a Clayton, for example. And he had a bad game, but he had some big baskets down the stretch. You know, who got makes down the stretch, John? Who got that three? You had that guy. And Houston didn't have that guy, and their offense was completely terrible the last 3 to 4 minutes. Oh, look, they were missing, but it's one thing to miss. It's another not to even get a decent look. And they weren't getting decent looks the last 4 to 5 minutes of the game, not even a decent look. And they didn't even get a shot off the last, 80 seconds? They had one shot blocked, a three-pointer that got blocked out of the bounds, and then the Uzan's three got blocked, and then you had two sharp, you know, a turnover, and then a turnover. Those are your last 80 seconds. Those are your three shots.
Yeah. No, they didn't even get a shot up in the last, the last three. It was bad. It was bad, no question. And I will say this, it's not often, and I don't know that he got out-coached, but a coach can coach with Kelvin Sampson, because out of every timeout, Florida had a beautiful play.
Beautiful
it seemed like
play.
Every timeout they came out and scored, and the Cougs just didn't. They didn't. While, you know, they had Kelvin did a remarkable job, and he said it too. He said, I didn't have my best game either, and he didn't. Didn't have an answer. Didn't have an answer for, anything offensively. He couldn't get anything. You know, he had said, in the pregame, I saw more than a few people saying, I watched a lot of the pregame, and, you got to drive. The Cougs got to drive. The Cougs got to drive. They didn't do any of that. They didn't do anything. They didn't try to – they didn't mix it up. They didn't set – the screens out top did not do anything. They couldn't drive the lane. They couldn't dish. They couldn't find anybody. They never brought a double team to the guy with the ball. It was just bad. Now
I think Todd Golden got the best of Kelvin yesterday, and because in games like that where it's really ugly, that's when coaching decisions play the biggest. I mean, they're really amplified and coming out of. I don't know that he did anything. Now I think that the guys at halftime made a really smart point. Stop sending high pick and rolls to Clayton. All you're doing is bringing an additional defender, and nobody plays help side defense like the Houston Cougars. So they stopped doing some of that. They took them off the ball. But, you know, the real key was they got great looks out of timeouts, as you mentioned. And God knows there was a billion timeouts in that game over the last 10 minutes. There were the most timeouts that has ever been timed out in the history of a televised event. 117 timeouts over the last 4 minutes. It was an all-time record. Incredible. And they came out of every one of them with a play. You know, and that's Todd Golden. I was talking to somebody last night during the game who hates Todd Golden, thinks he's a total fraud. And I'm like, well, he goes, God, I wish he would have lost. I hate that fraud. I said, you can think he's a fraud all you want. Maybe he is, but that fraud can come out with some plays out of timeouts. And that's, and ultimately – when you can't get looks at the basket almost the whole game, or you're missing, and you get easy looks, and including and ones, they got like 4 and ones. They made free throws down the stretch. I mean, look, Florida played winning basketball at the end. I mean, they did. And I can be as mad or upset or disappointed as the Cougars as you are, John, and as everyone else listening. But, you know, when it's all said and done, Florida really did make winning plays in the last 3 minutes, and that's what they did throughout the tournament when they were behind in the second half. This is the fourth game that they have been behind by 9 points or more, I think, and they've come back and won. I mean, that's just incredible.
Well, what was a killer too was, and not blaming the refs like the Duke fans did, but 4 fouls in the first half and 20 in the second. I mean, it was just
they let them play in the first half. It got tighter.
They really did, and it was a good game.
And Houston had too many.
So I thought choppy. In the second half, whistle after whistle after whistle after whistle after whistle. It was just, goodness gracious. Why do you have a tale of two halves with the referees? Let them play or don't let them play. If you're going to call it tight, call it tight. But they were calling it loose. I thought a few times in the first half, I was like, wow, they're letting them play here. That's nice. And in the second half, just it ruined the game.
Yeah. Houston had some dumb fouls, too, down in the low box. But they called a lot on Condon. They caught him with a lot of stuff. But I thought they had some really dumb grappling penalties down in the box. But then again, you know, maybe those weren't called in the first half, and maybe they thought they could get away with them. But the problem is you got a good free throw shooting team into the double bonus pretty quick. And
yes,
and,
real
and quick. That was a little bit of an issue. But disappointing loss for the Cougs. 7 Final Four appearances, no national championships. 3 trips to the national title game, no championships. Your first trip there in 41 years. And in the second half, man, I really thought this is it. This is going to be tough for Florida to come back from this against this Houston defense, the way they're playing and how clutch and how mentally tough Houston is. And I'm sure you thought the same thing. I mean, when they got a double-digit lead in the second half, I thought they may run away with this. And then you had a series of and-ones, and I'm sure we could go back and look at an individual play where it felt like, you know, the game kind of turned around and But I hope the phone lines are open so you guys can jump in today and weigh in. Hopefully it's not all jacked up like yesterday. 713-780. I almost gave out my cell phone. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Where does this rank on your disappointment scale, Johnny?
It's high. It's pretty high. It's
you've right been a big, big fan the whole year. I mean, yeah, regular season, everything.
Yeah. I've watched almost every game. I really got into this team. I thought it was his best team. I thought it was his best chance. And to throw up a stinker like that last night, I just thought, you know, this ranks up there with the 98 Astros. This ranks up there with the James Harden Rockets.
Yeah, 19 Astros.
Up two games. Coming back home, all you need is one win to go to the NBA Finals. That ranks up there 0-27, that one. This is pretty high on the list for me. What about you?
I'd put it below the 19 Astros. I'd put it below Harden.
Yeah, 19 Astros was bad.
I'd put it up there probably with 98 Astros. Probably pretty close there. I grew up a Cougar fan, and it's been kind of quiet. With the Astros, I've always been engaged. With the Cougars, I haven't always been engaged. So it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit different because the team, you know, there was such a morose in the basketball program for so many years. But I really love these players. I really love the head coach. I just it's well documented how we feel about it and how a lot of the people feel about it. This is an old school, especially if you watch basketball a long time, you have an appreciation for what Kelvin Sampson's been able to do, which is difficult in today's era of basketball. And I just wanted that to win out. And he's 69 years old. He's got 2 5-stars coming in next year. So on paper, they've got an incredible chance. But you just never know. You know, you just never know if he'll ever get that chance again. It's tough. It's tough, especially with transfer portal coming in the way it is. Anybody can come out of, like, 10 players on the court yesterday were transfer portal guys. And most of Florida's lineup was a transfer portal.
Yeah, most of them came from Florida.
most of them came from Florida. So I think Houston had 3, maybe 4, but Florida's almost their entire starting lineup was a transfer portal team. So that changes, like, you're going up against and you know what, you know where Walter Clayton came from? I didn't even know until this morning. You know, did you know he's a portal guy? I didn't know he was a portal guy.
No.
Did you know he was?
No.
I didn't know he was a portal guy. You know where he came from? Iona. All those mid-majors now, where you used to have those little stars on mid-majors, they're now all leaving. So he was a 2-year player at Iona. Now that dude is like an assassin at Florida.
Yeah, he really is.
That assassin had no bullets for the first 34 minutes of that game, but I give him credit down the stretch, though.
Well, it's no wonder Rick Pitino went to St. John's then. I mean, he got out of there. Clayton was gone. I'll go to St. John's and watch one of
them
here. Listen, McDonald's All-Americans, 5-stars, they don't mean anything. Over the last 10 years, Duke has not won a national championship. They've had 36 5-stars, 28 McDonald's All-Americans, 18 first-round picks, 9 top 5 prospects, 8 lottery picks, 7 top 10 prospects, 3 number 1 prospects, and 2 number 1 overall NBA draft picks. Over the last 10 years, and they've won nothing. That's Duke. So McDonald's All-Americans don't mean anything, but it sure is good. It'll be good to see. I don't know. What we looked at those guys, and I'm not sure any of them can shoot like the way we're hoping for. This team could shoot. This team could do it all. If Sharp was off one, if Cryer was off one night, Sharp would hit. If Sharp was off, Uzan would hit. Or you get it down low to Juwan. This team had it all. This team could have done it. This team just didn't have it. And Florida's a really, really good team. We'll hear from the players and the coach after this, right here on ESPN.
You sound like Stephon.
This team had everything.
It did.
Shooters, it did. Shot blockers,
this team
Steelers.
Had a camaraderie. It had a
angry
love for each
coach.
Other.
It camaraderie.
Had it did. It had everything.
Stephon.
It came up short. That's just such a shame. Such a shame. We got a break. Billy Brown, nothing short there. Well, he's not that tall. He's a little fella. Actually, a little skinny fella, but he's unbelievable when it comes to. I don't know that you have to have any kind of stature. I do know you have to have butt crack if you're a plumber. I know that, but when Billy Brown's guys came to my house, not one trace of butt crack, not one. I mean, that was cool. I thought, well, we're changing the plumbing industry here. Okay, but that's what Billy Brown is doing. He's changing the industry. Not charging just to show up, having, you know, actually giving you a square deal, not screwing you whenever anything happens to you and you're in dire, you got no choice, right? Well, you got to do it. I guess they got to pay this guy thousands. That Billy Brown says, no, I'll give you a square deal on this, okay? And that's what Billy Brown does every time, huh, Lance?
Yeah, that's all what he does every single time. If you want a square deal, if you want the work done the right way the first time, if maybe you had work done that wasn't done the right way with a piping job underneath your slab or outside somewhere in your yard. Billy Brown's guys will come and correct it. They did that for me. They'll do it for you. They fix it right the first time. Big job, small job, doesn't matter. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. That's AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
All right, welcome back. Yep, with Mercy Gate. Lance is out there live along with Dell. Sean Mapes is in studio. We asked for phone calls, and we got them. All right, Keith is on hold. We got Art. We got Joshua. We'll get you guys in. Anybody else wants in? 713-780-3776. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Driving back from San Antonio right now. Heartbreaking loss for the Cougs. Unbelievable chance to win the game. Didn't happen for us. It felt like right after the Todd Golden technical foul, the refs just basically just flooded Florida with like 7 to 8, 9 straight fouls to get basically both teams to the double bonus. The momentum just completely shifted there. And the fact that we don't even get a shot off on, I think, 3 of the 4 final possessions is outrageous. The boost we got from Wilson and Francis off the bench, but then the starters outside of Cryer just didn't live up. Like, every time Florida made a bucket, their crowd, their fans, their shooters got louder and louder, and our guys got more tense and more tense. You could just see the shift in the building. And it's a nice venue to watch a game. It's a little bit smaller than an NFL stadium, so there's not a ton of bad sidelines, but just a heartbreaking loss.
Keith, hold on before you hang. Okay, well, never mind. I was going to ask him. Like, I couldn't tell on TV what the split was like fan base-wise. I was just out of curiosity. But
he can call in and tell Sean. Call back,
Javier
Keith, and tell
Francis
Sean.
Was incredible yesterday.
Yeah,
incredible performance by Javier Francis. Yeah. Unbelievable performance by him. Malik Wilson was good, too. Francis was outstanding. They also had Arsenal come off the bench. Didn't do a whole lot. Those are the only three. He had an 8-man rotation yesterday. And, Todd Golden. So, you know, they had 2 technical fouls. Houston made 3 of 4 free throws on the 2 technical fouls. And you had the ball slam by their big man and Todd Golden's Chenoweth. Technical.
It wasn't Todd Golden.
Yeah, it was an assistant. But you know what? As soon as that happens, so one of the oldest tricks in the book for coaches is to get a tech, because human nature, when they're complaining about calls, human nature is, and I learned this from a coach who used to be a college coach, he said, when that happens, a lot of times there will be the human nature is to come back on the other side and kind of, quote-unquote, even it up, right? Yeah. You're just giving the other team points, and you're going to be more likely to look at the other side, too, to make sure that it looks like it's a fair game. Like, not that it's intentionally not a fair game, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
A technical foul sometimes is a smart move. Now, that one, he didn't – it was just a pissed-off assistant screaming from the bench. But yeah. They were getting hot. They thought that their bigs were being called for too many fouls in that first half.
Yeah. So I'm watching this last play over and over. Man, how many times are they going to pick up their dribble? Goodness.
It was awful.
For no reason.
They picked it up. But, John, they did that against Gonzaga, too.
I know.
They did it against Purdue. They didn't have a primary ball handler. They don't have a real point. Every time Sharp crosses the half court and Uzon crossed the half court, they're picking up the dribble 34 feet away.
Yeah.
What are we doing, guys? Keep it alive.
Let's get Art in here. Hey, Art.
Hey, guys. So I was watching the game. I'm an Aggie, but obviously going for the Cougs. And for me, there was like a bad omen right off the bat, and I was like, man, they're going to lose this game after I saw that. And it's when they were comparing the coaches, and then they're like, hey, this is Florida coach is the youngest coach since Valvano. And then the second they said that, I was like, man, that's not good for the Cougs. And so that, and then also going into halftime, you know, for them it had to be like locker room material to say, hey, we're only down three and our best player hasn't scored a single point. Like, that's like encouraging for them. So I thought that too was like, he's going to wake up at some point, and for them to only be up by three with their best player not scoring any was not a good sign either. So anyway, just my thoughts.
Yep.
That was where you had my problem was when I found out midway through the first half that Ted Cruz was there and had made a bet with the Florida with Ron DeSantis, I guess, or whoever, maybe it was somebody else. I'm like, no, Ted Cruz cannot be here. Then there was a picture with him with a black, I think it was U of H, I think it had U of H on it, it was a black top, and I'm just like, well, and then they were up 11, I'm like, even Ted Cruz can't stop this. Wrong.
Yeah, wrong. Ted Cruz, hey, that power is unstoppable.
Super mush. I mean, put him in a bathroom.
The superest. I don't know that he was at the Duke game. We didn't see. There was no evidence he was at the Duke game. So, I mean, what are you doing? Ted Cruz, stay away. Stay away from our big games. He's always there, and he's terrible. Joshua's here. What's up, Joshua?
Good morning, guys. A couple things I noticed yesterday that kind of sent me the wrong way when it came to the game is that when it came to the refereeing, you would think that at the beginning of the game, at least in the first half of this caliber of a game, you'd play them a little tight and then let them play a little loose on the second half. But another thing that stood out to me yesterday was turnovers and points converted off of turnovers. So Florida wound up having 13 turnovers yesterday and converting more points off turnovers than Houston did. And I feel like even when Florida turned over the ball to Houston, Houston got down the court, and it's just poor shot selection, just giving the ball right back to Florida. And I feel like capitalizing on those 13 turnovers at some point, either earlier in the game or even before in the second half, would have made a huge difference. Thanks, that's a listen.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
I think it's a great point. I think it's a great point, John.
Yeah, was it?
If we're being totally honest, Houston, even when they were winning, we're taking shots that are out of character for them. You know, they were taking some out of character rushed shots when they really didn't need to. Every possession was going to be an important possession. You could tell the way the defense was being played, going to get your best shot. And I thought that they were really forcing some things, but you know, they were winning or it was close and Florida was missing everything. So,
well, they looked, they made them look worse because, holy crap, I don't know that I've ever seen so many off the side of the rim, air ball, back. I mean,
mega bricks.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Oh, Uzon. Oh, goodness gracious. You barely drew iron. And Sharp, what the bleep. I mean, it was bad. That was bad. And after, I don't know. There were hurried shots. I don't know. Listen, that Florida defense was good. And even Todd Golden, you know, Joshua was right about that. They did not capitalize nearly enough on because they were crushing them in turnovers. But they were also 0 for 8, her first 8 three-point attempts. But Todd Golden, at a break, one of the breaks, where he was interviewed by Tracy Woodson on the sideline, he goes, Wolfson, he goes, man, we're okay. We got all these turnovers, and we're only down 3. It's okay. And I was like, oh, man, I hate that. I hate when the other coach feels like it's okay when he's losing. And yeah. Sure enough, it was so hard. That was such a tough game. Goodness gracious. I thought
what sucks
sure.
is the mentally tough team.
Yeah, was not.
Just kind of like you remember when they got tight and they won Gonzaga and we talked about it like, oh, man, Houston got a little tight at the end of that game. They got a little tight at the end of that game. Then you have a game like Duke happening, and you kind of forget about some of the issues earlier in the tournament. And, you know, you got the Kansas win where they had, you know, they've certainly, when they're behind, they free swing. When they're ahead, they do get a little tight. They don't have a Jamal Shedd to kind of, L.J. Cryer's a good player. L.J. Cryer, from a composure standpoint and a team, when I say team leader, I mean a guy with the ball in his hands who kind of calms things down. You're kind of missing that a little bit yesterday and really throughout the tournament. The picking the ball up quick after passing the half court is just an example of it. But, you know, Houston played tight at the end, and that's one of the most disappointing part. That's one of the most disappointing things. Is
they
playing
all do
from
that,
ahead.
Though.
Everyone playing ahead plays tight. It's true. Whenever you're the hunted and things start to squeeze up on you. But the mental toughness of Houston, that's the legendary part. And you didn't see it yesterday. You know, that was disappointing. And I feel, you know what, ultimately, who cares if we feel bad? I mean, those guys are living through it right now, and Kelvin Sampson, and, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for Coug fans, lifelong Coug fans, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was, they were on the, and it was so exciting. All my Coug friends, man, they were so excited. And just so heartbreaking. And I feel bad for Manuel Sharp. I tweeted that after the game. That kid is going to relive those last two possessions for the rest. I still remember games that, you know, at the end of the game where I missed a play. Wasn't even close to a fraction of the importance of that game. And I still remember them to this day and have a little bit of it gnaws at you. Those last two possessions for Sharp are going to live with him forever, and that sucks because he played a huge role for this team. I feel so bad for that kid. All right, 713-780-3776. But there's still a lot of stuff out there for us in the city of Houston, and you can have fun with it on Underdog.
Underdog Fantasy, and you know, I got to tell you, one of them I talked about was higher than 0.5 assists for Emmanuel Sharp. He had one assist, winner. What you do is you look at the statistics for all the games that are out there. You got NBA playoffs getting ready to kick off. So, you're going to have all these games going on every single night, a lot to choose from. Go find the statistics that you think are a little bit weak. There was a lot of lower on points scored yesterday. But if you said to yourself, this is going to be a hard-fought game, this is going to be dynamic defense, it's going to be difficult for people to score, you could have had lower on a lot of different players out there for both teams and won real money, good money. You can win up to 1,000 times your original play. And you can start by playing just $1, just $1, but you can make up to 1,000 times your original money. So what you need to do is download the Underdog Fantasy app, use promo code Lance when you make your first deposit, and they're going to give you up to $1,000 in bonus cash. And from there, you know, you can start playing, and you can start playing, and you can start having real fun, making real money, using your sports knowledge while you're watching a game. Once again, use promo code Lance for up to $1,000 in bonus cash. Don't leave free money sitting there. Use my promo code Lance. It's Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to InSpeedGambling.org.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. We said we'd get you guys in, and we will. It's your show. You get what you call, you get in. James is on hold. Let's get him in here. Hey, James, your thoughts?
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show, and I'm a lifelong Cougar, and very disappointed in the game last night. But I want to say this. I couldn't be prouder of those guys. I mean, they lay it all out there each and every game, from the coach to every player out there. Very disciplined program. I think, they're probably more disappointed than anyone because they feel like they let themselves down, they let us down. But I just want to say very proud of them. They left it all out there on the court. And I don't think we have many teams in this city throughout, you know, my era that play the way that they do, game in, game out. The preparation, the effort that they put out there is just incredible. And from the standpoint of the five stars that are coming in, I don't think that a five star makes the difference, but I think the coach along with the five star and the culture that's there will make a difference. And I appreciate you guys. You guys have a wonderful day.
Yep. JoJo is coming back. Terrence Arsenal, they talked about it after the game. They got five stars coming in. LJ's done. J1 is done. Javier is done. But they've got good players. And he's got a culture. And he said it after the game, too.
Is Uzan done?
Pardon me? Well, Uzan was a transfer. That was his fourth year. So I don't know with COVID.
He should have a COVID year. He's inside.
Yeah, he should have
COVID.
A COVID year. Yeah. I don't know.
And Emmanuel Sharp?
Emmanuel Sharp is. I don't know about him.
Uzan's played 3 years. He's back.
He's back.
Unless he were to go pro, which I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't know about Emmanuel. Did you see it? You see him?
Emmanuel Sharp, no. I'll take a look here. I do know this. He made a really good point that from an effort standpoint, everything he said about preparation and all that, without question. There's disappointment in losing a game, but everything he said was true. You know, about the preparation,
yeah, Sharp
the way that
3 years.
After it.
Sharp's got, he's got another year.
You see, you got three starters coming back.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll see. JoJo is so good, too. And if Uzan is coming back and Emmanuel's coming back, you add these guys, they're going to be fine. But this was you don't get to the precipice like this. You don't. Holy crap! Gosh, dang it! That was so tight. That was so cold. So close. That was James Wright is up next. Dave, is on hold. Let's get him in here. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning.
How we doing, Dave?
Good morning, Dave.
Hey, I'm good. Listen, I'm be very brief. Watching the game last night brought back a lot of memories. I'm a Houstonian forever. You know, I was about 20 when they lost to Valvano and then Georgetown. And it's just the one thing I will say is that there's no one to blame here. You know how after a series, everyone want to blame the refs, want to blame this, want to blame that. Listen, sometimes you just lose to the team who played bad at the right moments. The refs actually called a good game, I thought. They let them play, and they lost. And we just got to look forward to it. Coach Sampson is doing a great job. And just, you know, look to next year.
Well, yeah. Well, that is true, although they didn't play their best ball. Oh, they were playing Florida, though, and Florida played great defensively. They really did. Sometimes you just lose. The other team, Florida was thought to be a higher favorite than the Cougs were, and maybe for this reason. The Cougs have, offensive deficiencies, and it showed at just the wrong time. So, Sean, the last play, Kelvin Sampson talked about the last play, and, you know, feel terrible. The play before, Manuel Sharp is trying to dribble through three guys. Clayton reaches out and tips the ball, and it goes off of Emmanuel's Sharp's knee, and it goes out of bounds. So, you know, then the next – they're down one. They come back. It's 14 seconds left, whatever it was, and they bring the ball up, and they're messing around, and finally get it to Emmanuel, and he goes up, and Clayton comes up, flying up to block it, and it would have been blocked. So Sharp just drops the ball on the ground, which you can't do. He can't touch it after that because that would be up and down. So they instead of getting a shot off, they got no shots off in the last, well, three possessions. They got no shots off.
Hold on. Everyone says that. Are we sure that's a travel?
Yeah,
that
that's
he picked
a travel.
It up.
He can't touch the ball. Can't touch the ball.
He jumped up, but then threw it down like a dribble. It's like a dribble, yeah. But isn't that a dribble?
No, it's not a dribble.
Why isn't it a dribble when he dribbled it?
I don't know.
Can't you gather the dribble? The whole time I was thinking, can he gather that?
No.
I mean, because he didn't jump up and come down. He jumped up. I know everyone said that, but I'm just wondering if there's anyone else who thought like me, like, can he gather that in? Can he come up with it? He obviously can't take another step.
Is it because he left his feet first before he dropped
it? It's got to be.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's got to be.
You can't jump in the air and then throw it on the ground. No.
Yeah.
You can't.
The dribble would have to come first.
Listen, even if he threw it, if he jumped in the air, threw it up, missed the basket, went and ran and got it, he couldn't touch it first.
So if you jump in the air and you start dribbling, you can't.
Yeah. But if you're
that's legal.
But if your dribbling had begun, you see guys skip in the air and they're.
So I guess the dribble began.
Yeah, the dribble had to have already begun. He left his feet. That's right. And it's over for him.
I mean, my initial thought was, yeah, you can't. That's going to be a travel. Oh my God, I can't believe that's the last shot. I mean, just terrible. And I'm not going to say who, but I got a message here that said, let's stop beating around the bush. Sampson got exposed as not being a good X's and O's coach. You have to reel the bad shots and turnovers in and draw up plays to win a game. He did not do that.
Well, he had.
I don't know if he got exposed. I would say that he
was the most genius coach ever against Purdue.
Yeah, he didn't
have. Now he can't coach? Stop. Now he can't coach.
He had a good inbounds play. Well, yesterday he got out-coached. He got out-coached
yesterday. Well, he did have a play. That's just the truth. He did have a play. And here is the play. Here's Kelvin on the last play.
Dan, you've got to get a shot. That's you got to do better than that.
Coach, next one's up front to the left. Aaron
Beard with the AP. Kelvin, what were you hoping to get out of that last play?
Yeah, we have a set where it's. A staggered gate, and we thought if we could get Emmanuel to shot fake and get downhill, I have to look back at the film, and I don't know if the ball slipped out of his hands or Clayton has his back. Yeah, he probably should have shot fake that. Both those guys. Richard and Martin, both really good defensively. Clayton made a great play on that, but that's why you got to shot fake and get in the paint. Two's fine. Jaywan has been awesome all year. Tonight was not his night. Florida was really physical with the way they were chucking and bumping when he was going. And he had a lot of balls that just fell right off the rim, seems like. At the end of the day, they scored 65, we scored 63. They struggled scoring on us, and we struggled scoring on them. That's what.
Yep.
When he gets down to the two best teams left, it's not going to be easy for either team.
No.
That was a shot. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. It's probably a shot fake. I mean, the clock was running down, so he probably thought, I gotta do that. I gotta get it up there.
Look who's here,
Shoe. What's up, Shoe? Frosty, what do you say, boys?
You wouldn't even recognize him. He doesn't drink now. He's not drinking now. You wouldn't even know him now.
Yeah. Tell him I said hello.
I notice that nobody likes you when you don't drink.
No, nobody likes me. I told you that.
And I'm the opposite. Well, I don't like him when he does.
Well, you don't like
drink.
You don't like him either way.
Yeah.
Foxy even sent me a text yesterday, like, none of his friends like him when he's not drinking anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Nobody wants me around. No, my friends give me up.
Said, John told me he doesn't really like being around you guys when he's sober.
No.
And I'm like, is this a true friendship? Yeah. Or is this a codependency?
Well, it's built on something.
It's built on.
Friendship needs to be built on something. It's built on drinking.
It's built on hops.
Yeah.
It's 45 weeks a year. If we're friends, otherwise, no.
Then when you take it away, when you take the foundation of their friendship away, there's nothing left.
Friendship crumbles. Yeah, it's a house of cards.
No,
well, it's a house of cores.
Yeah.
It's really a house of cores.
Yes, it is.
It's a house of cores is your friendship.
They missed dunks. They missed layups.
Who did you want to have the last shot, John?
They had a goaltending that wasn't called. They threw up.
But we're not going to do the official. Yeah.
No, but the goaltending was clear.
Yeah,
just
it was
like
clear.
The kick they out missed. Of bounds the game before.
No, they missed it. They missed it. But I'm not going to be a Duke fan. This is.
But
this is
here's
really
the deal,
Houston.
Though. off of that miss and off of that missed goaltending, they came down and knocked down an early three. I mean, that's a big – that's a five-point swing.
Yeah,
that's
a five-point swing. Yeah, but that was in the first half. You had a double-digit lead in the second half, so it really didn't have an impact. I mean, you had a double-digit lead in the second half. You should never lose that when you're the Cougars with their defense. You just shouldn't lose it. They had too many – they gave up too many and-ones in the second half. Who did you want to take the last shot? This is my problem. I was like, for me, it was Cryer. Even though he was 6-19 and having one of his, you know, or 6-18 having a terrible shooting game, for me, the only guy was Cryer. Sharp was not. Uzan was. Martin put the clamps on him. Uzan was. He was rushing everything. I didn't want him shooting it.
Let's do this on the other side. Let's do it on the other side. 713-780-3776. Who did you want with the last shot? I want when I'm playing poker, I want to play Texas Card House. I just think it's a really clean, wonderful facility with multiple tables, big enough for any event. There's one in spring that's huge on Westheimer, big enough. They've got tournaments every night. Safe. There's a security guard there. You get wanded when you walk in. You're going to feel like you feel good. Beautiful. Both of them have really big parking lots that you just feel safe leaving the place, win or lose. You got a bar that's open until 2 a.m. You got 24/7. They don't close unless it's Christmas Day. That's the only time that they're going to close Texas Card House, so you can find a game. And with both locations, they're going 20. I mean, they're always going. Always, always, always going. So if you're looking for a game right now, you love poker, Texas Card House. It is, I'm telling you, it's turned into our premier place. We had a premier place before, the premier place now, Texas Card House, texascardhouse.com, texascardhouse.com.
John, we have not discussed this yet. Astros lose yesterday to the Mariners 4-3, give up a couple runs. The Astros get a couple in the eighth to take a lead and then give up in the bottom of the eighth, give up two.
Yeah, Taylor Scott was not good.
Scott wasn't good, and then, you know, Abreu finished it up, but Scott had to come out, and they lost that one. They also lost Spencer Arrighetti. Spencer Arrighetti was out playing catch in the outfield. A line drive was hit during batting practice, hit him in the thumb, broke the thumb on his pitching hand. Now, last I checked, thumbs are pretty important in terms of getting torque on the ball, so this sucker is going to be a problem. He's going to be out for a little bit. And Wisniewski did a good job yesterday. He had a good game. Wisniewski. I did it, guys. I told myself I was going to say it right today, but I just couldn't. Wisniewski had a good game. So Yiner is struggling just a tad.
Okay, four at bats. Caratini, man, I don't mind him being in. I'd rather have him at the plate right now, but he can't throw anybody out.
Everyone's running on him. You got Yiner, who is hitting 67. He's got 10 strikeouts now. He's got 10 strikeouts and 30 at bats, two hits, but he's got eight strikeouts in his last 19 at bats with one hit. He has been miserable this year.
He's lost
to this point for Yiner Diaz. Just having a bad start. I guess he's picking up
Who's hitting better than he is?
Bregman.
Well, Alex Bregman's hitting it better than anybody in the league. Well, the top three most hits before last night's game: Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve. Top three in Major League Baseball.
Well, and I'm sure you saw that Bregman was the player of the week in the American League, and Kyle Tucker was player of the week in the National League. And as Dell pointed out, do you see who has 3 home runs and 12 RBIs and a 1,300 OPS? A name you may not even know, Willier Abreu.
Oh, my God, Willier Abreu is the best right fielder in baseball.
Willier Abreu came from the Houston Astros for
on the Vasquez. We got Vasquez for 2 months, and we gave him Willier Abreu.
And that was not a Dana move. That was a click move, by the way.
Yeah,
so don't
try
to put that on Dana's ticket. But that was a little rental. We got a little rental in there.
Yeah, so you want click back? How about that? You want click back?
Willier Abreu.
Won a World Series.
He did. Willier Abreu had 15 homers last year. Willier Abreu looks like a pretty good player.
Yeah.
He looks like he's going to be That one's going to sting a little bit in the future.
You think?
I mean, if you needed a right fielder. I mean, if you needed a future right
fielder. Yeah, well, the Astros don't need one because they're just fine in right field. It doesn't – yeah, they're just – that doesn't matter. We're giving up Willier Abreu, who's going to be that now looks like a Hall of Famer.
But I think about it, guys. Nice job. Think about it. Christian Vasquez caught the combined no-hitter.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, John.
He did catch the combined no-hitter. He hit, when after Yordan hit that home run in Game 6, Vasquez – had a attack on single, RBI single, so he contributed. That's what the arguments were.
But I'd rather have Willier right now.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Willier right now.
Same.
Yeah. No. Yeah, Vasquez.
As long as Vasquez doesn't become Josh Fields, and as long as Willier doesn't become Yordan.
That's the definition of going for it. And they won, and Vasquez made a contribution, but you're paying for it now. That's the definition of going for it. Because Willier Abreu, it looks like a really good player that you could
Although I don't
really
think Willier Abreu was considered a top-tier prospect for the Astros. But obviously,
Red Sox did their – Just like we knew what we were doing with Yordan. Just like we knew what we were doing with Yordan, they knew what they were doing with Willier.
The embarrassing thing is L.A. Times had an article where it appears as though the Dodgers got confused on who they were trading. That would be – like, I wouldn't even admit – I would make sure no one ever found that out if I were the Dodgers. Like, hey, if anyone ever – if this ever slips that there was a different Yordan in our organization, we traded the wrong one, I swear to God, I will not only fire all of you, I'll kill your entire family. That's what I would tell them. Don't you ever anyone let anyone know that we traded Yordan accidentally.
I will wipe your family line from the face of the
earth. Yeah. Don't you ever – yeah, something like that you'd see on HBO on Sunday nights.
Yep.
Chase said this, the world got introduced to Doug Sermon's ref show last night. He's the absolute worst ref in the Big 12 in college basketball. I'm shocked he's allowed to ref in the Final Four title game. No one's blaming the refs, just an interesting text.
Saw before the game, like one, it might have been him. He's like ref the last three the college basketball final games.
They obviously think he's good.
They do. I said earlier it went from 4 fouls to 20. It went from 4 fouls to 25 in the second half. 25 fouls in the second half.
Hey, keep it fair. Keep it fair. Keith, who was at the game, if you guys want to jump in. By the way, we're taking phone calls. Sound off on the Cougs or Astros. Spencer Agetti is going to be out for long term now with a broken thumb. 713-780-3776. But Keith was at the game. He said it was about a 60-40 split for the Florida Gators in San Antonio. I'll be honest with you, I'm not that surprised. I know the proximity of Houston, but SEC fans just travel like mothers. I mean,
They do.
They travel like crazy. Yeah. I always kind of felt like the Gators would have a small advantage. And that's a small advantage. That's nothing to swing a game.
No. The Cougs showed up. They did. That was great. I mean, they showed up, and they were – it's not the crowd. It certainly wasn't the crowd. You asked who you wanted
to take the last shot. Yeah.
I would have been fine with Sharp. I would have been fine with Uzan. I would have been fine with Cryer. I would have been fine if they got a download of J1.
Did you feel – now, the J1 thing, I didn't know, but – like Bill Raftery said, I think they should get the ball to Jawan Roberts. I think they call him Jawan Roberts. Get it to him. And I kept thinking, for what? What are we doing? He can't shoot free throws. No.
What do you mean he can't shoot free throws? Roberts. He just won the game.
Yeah, and then he just missed. Then he had just missed previously in the same game.
Guy, but listen, Lance,
he's a 62% guy.
He's a 62%
guy. Well, he just missed one at the end of the game that was big. He had just missed one. I didn't want to. It was 3-for-13. I didn't want to go to Jawan Roberts. There was one guy to go to, Cryer. Cryer can beat you off the bounce. He can get by you off the bounce. Uzan
he
was
had
a
the
mess.
Ball. And he had the ball and he gave it up. He had the ball.
Yeah, I know. It was. I mean, to me, that was the only guy I wanted shooting that shot.
I didn't want anyone else shooting the shot.
Typically, I like Uzan, but he looked like he was overwhelmed yesterday.
They've all made big shots. Even Malik Wilson made the shot against Kansas. Jawan made the layup to beat, I believe it was Central Florida, and he made the free throws to beat.
Well, I know they have in games, but they were all lousy yesterday. Who did you want yesterday with the way game flow was? Did you have a feel? Like, for me, I default to the best player, Cryer.
I didn't think any of them played great.
No. None of them did. But who did? That's why my question's a little tougher is I don't know that they have one guy that you say, this is the guy I want the ball in his hands. For me, it was – you know, I just thought mentally, I just didn't think it was – I thought Uzan was – Elijah Martin gave some problems to Uzan. He didn't like it too much. And Sharp is okay off the dribble, but not great. Cryer is better off the dribble. Hey, I give Florida a lot of credit now. Now, they don't get a lot of credit for their defense when they played Houston, but Florida is a team that will defend you out on the perimeter, too. They did a nice job defensively.
Oh, they did a great job. I mean,
they did a really good job.
There was not one effective pick that I saw. I don't remember. I mean, you got JoJo and you got J1 up top setting picks, and I don't remember them coming off of a pick having any kind of space at all. I mean, Florida did a really nice. Florida looked like the Cougs in the last 15 minutes of that game. They looked like the Cougs. And that's a testament because they were D'ing up. The Cougs offensively are mediocre at times.
Yeah.
They have their lulls. But Florida brought it defensively. They really did. All right.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. Your show. We got a couple hours left, so you're more than welcome to get in. Are you driving back from San Antonio, or are you heading to work and you want to bring something to the show? You're more than welcome. Hey, there are challenges to being a Texas homeowner. If you got high mortgage payments, you're going to have high property taxes, and they're not going to go down. And you know what the government never does? Hey, let's lower your taxes. Never, ever, ever. Okay, so here's the deal. You are going to have to – they're going to keep jacking it up, and they're going to push the limits as high as they can, and OwnWell is here for you. If you try to do it – I've done it. I've beat them before, and I've lost before. And the losing really, really, really hurts because now the next year – they're jacking it up again. And now it compounds itself. So don't lose. OwnWell wins 86% of the time. 86% of the time the government is wrong. 86% of the time. You don't pay unless they win. It takes 5 minutes to sign up. And they do everything. You do nothing. Okay? Here's the deal. An average customer receives savings of $1,100. That's a lot. It'll build up if you let that go. Don't let it go. You got until May 15th. Save money on your property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start your protest today. OwnWell.com. OwnWell.com.